Well, it's time to get our weekly Thursday view. Usually at this time I say we look to the north, but he's live on the scene in L.A. Day one, Pac-12 Media Day, covering the event for Comcast Sportsnet. Check out his work online, csnnw.com. Follow on Twitter. Please use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, always appreciate your time. How are things in Southern California?
It is beautiful down here, man.
You going to the beach? You going to take a puddle jumper to Vegas? You going to the racetrack? Or are you going to do crazy things like work?
Man, they got to be working down here. It's some BS.
We were just talking. This time of year, we're completely against work of any kind. But I want to start. Tim Duncan announced his retirement. We know the ridiculous list of accomplishments. Three NBA Finals MVP. Only Michael had more. I thought the one interesting thing I didn't realize, 13 times either first or second All-NBA defense. Not a flashy guy. You know the list. What do we do with him? Could we place him on an all-time list? It's kind of hard to put a position label on him. Do we view his career a little differently, albeit elite?
Yeah, he's interesting, isn't he? Because he lacked that flash and that star power. He was just great.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing signature about him. Everyone else had something signature about him in terms of, you know, the greatest players of the last 20, 30 years. And he just, like, they called him the big fundamental. He just did everything the right way, and it was spectacular. It just, the ball just went in the basket, and he grabbed rebounds and blocked shots and was a good teammate and kept his mouth shut and won championships after, you know, only one fewer than Jordan, just as many as Kobe, and just as many as Magic. So as far as I'm concerned, I think I tweeted out the other day my all-time starting five based on players I've seen play, and I had him, you know, as my starting power forward. And I don't, you know, you mentioned the position thing. Where do we put him position-wise? Clearly, you could say he's a center if you wanted to, but there's been so many centers that I would say I would probably still take over him. I would still take Kareem. I would still take Will, Bill Russell, Shaq. But I think at the power forward position, I think he's untouchable. I think literally, I don't think anyone can really make a legitimate argument that anyone has been better at that position than him. And I think that was his true position. They usually had someone else who was more of the center, whether it was David Robinson on through to, you know, Thiago Splitter. You know, they usually had someone who might be the quote-unquote center. So I would call him the greatest power forward to ever play.
Was that your Twitter feed where you were talking about the all-time list and somebody came back at you with Stockton over Magic at point guard?
Yeah, and I sent him a Chris Tucker meme looking at him like he was crazy from the movie Friday. But as he pointed out, he meant – my criteria was players I've seen play. So players either on TV or in person. He remembers Magic, but he remembers the tail end of Magic. He remembers more of Stockton, so I cut him some slack on that.
Okay, because at first sight, it's like, all right, I can't work in sports anymore.
Exactly.
All right, so let's talk Blazers. They matched the offer. Alan Crabb, 4 years, $75 million. He gets a raise from $947,000 to $18,500,000. 24. Yeah, that's not bad. I'd take one of those. I'd wait in that line. He's 24. He's started 17 games. And you want to know something? We know the money is nuts, but it's all based on revenue. What did you make of this decision by Portland?
I really hope they were going to do that. I think it's forward-thinking. I think it's smart. There's some people who reacted to it like, wow, you're paying Turner this much money, and now you're going to pay Crabb this much money, and then McCollum's going to come up soon, and you got Aminu making $8 million a year, which is not much, but you add it all up, and that, you know, the two and three are making a ton of money. But I think if you're Portland, you have to keep your assets, man. I mean, if you let him go, you know, you're not going to be able to go out in the free agent market and necessarily replace him because your cap space is already being eaten up. And the way you can avoid, you know, exceed the cap space is by re-signing your own guys. So it's like if you let him go, you might never be able to replace him. And if you keep him, and I've said this before, you know, you add assets for a future trade. Because I think the only way this team is going to upgrade its talent at the top end in terms of bringing in a player the caliber of Lillard or McCollum is through a trade. And so you have to have the assets to make that trade and still maintain depth after you've made that trade. I'm in Oregon mode. The Blazers are 10 deep right now. Like, literally 10. They should have a 10-deep rotation. And most teams are 8 or 9. And so they have guys they can move at some point. And I'll throw out a scenario. I still think Cleveland is not very happy with Kevin Love. And I think they won the championship. It's all kumbaya right now. But he still doesn't fit what they do. He doesn't play good enough defense. He disappears on offense. He's kind of just a stretch four making marquee player money. I could totally see them looking to trade that contract for depth at some point, addition by subtraction. And so if you're Portland, why couldn't you be able to strike with, you know, Crab Leonard or Aminu Leonard? And that gives them depth. They still get a stretch four. They move on from Kevin Love. And you get Kevin Love. I'm just throwing that out there. Who knows who it might be? It could be anybody, any team that knows it's not going to contend, wants to move a contract of a good player, or the player just wants out because they know they're not going to contend. And then, boom, the Blazers are right there with all this depth to pounce and still be good behind that great player they bring in.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people kind of got lost in the mix that Crab isn't good. He's a great three-point shooter. He shot like almost 40% as well.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So.
I think he does have a trade kicker. He might be tough to trade, so maybe it's someone else you trade. But the point, again, is that you're not going to attract big-time free agents. You better keep the talent you have.
Yeah, I think we kind of learned that. let's get to the reason you're in L.A. And nothing more important than preseason media polls before we even see a depth chart. But the Pac-12 says Stanford, 70% of the first place votes. The Huskies next with about 20%. And the Ducks picked for third. I think we talked about this. Oregon's got a lot of questions heading in. Did you find it perfectly reasonable for them to be slotted there?
Oh, definitely. Oh, my God, definitely. This is a team in transition, man. This is a program in transition. Not in terms of, you know, going sub 500, but in terms of that national championship window, they're out of it. You know, and I said going into 2014 that this was it. They didn't do it now. They're not going to do it in the foreseeable future unless something dramatic changes and they go out and all of a sudden they have another amazing, great quarterback and a bunch of other superstars or whatever. But, you know, that might have been it. And that window has closed. And if you look at the team, I'm not saying they're not going to be good. I'm not saying it's impossible for them to win the conference or go to the playoffs. Of course, anything's possible. But, man, has there, you know, in the previous 8 years, they won 4 conference titles, went to 2 national championship games, got a Heisman, a Rose Bowl, a Fiesta, et cetera, et cetera. 2 Rose Bowls, actually. And now you look at them. Okay, they lost 6 out of 7 players on the defensive front 7, including the Pac-12 Player of the Year. Henry Mondo is your only returning impact defensive player in the front 7. Your secondary has talent, but, man, they got lit up last season.
Right.
Lit up, right? They were 115th in the nation in defense and lost all that talent on the front. On offense, you lost 2 guys to the NFL, Johnstone and Hegarty. You do have depth. You do have some good players. I think the line's going to be fine. But still, you have some bodies to replace, some leadership to replace. Running back your stack, receiver your stack, and then quarterback, you have to go out to the big sky again to find your savior. And I think Prukup will be fine, and or Travis Johnson, if he eventually beats him out. I think they'll be good. I just don't think Johnson's ready to be great. I don't know if Prukup can be great. Vern Adams came close to being great. We all know what Marcus did. But you add all those things up, that's a lot of things that have to go right for you to go 12-1 and get into the national playoff picture, or even just win your conference with a 10-2 or whatever record. That's a lot of ifs, and the conference is good.
Yeah,
you know, it's way better than it was in 2010. Not even close. People like to say, "Oh, 2010, we won it with Darren Thomas. He wasn't a great quarterback." Man, the Pac-12 was completely different back then. Back then, I think half the conference averaged 25 points or less. Now, most of the conference averages 30 points or more. It's just a different world. Great coaching, great players around the conference. So you're taking a step back in a lot of different areas while the rest of the conference is moving forward. I think the prediction is spot on, correct. I think Oregon can still win it. Don't get me wrong. They're going to be loaded and talented at the skill spots. I think the secondary is going to take a huge jump. They're going to be more attacking on defense. But, you know, prediction-wise, I think it's a sound on-point prediction by the media.
We talk with Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sportsnet. You mentioned the arsenal at the disposal down there with Coach Helf, Royce Freeman. logic says this is his last season. He's an NFL player. He was amazing last year. Now he's got the spotlight on him a little more. You actually get to know these guys. Is he the type of player who won't have any problem being, in essence, the face of the program, dealing with all the pressure and expectation, and still be able to produce like a madman?
Yeah, he rivals Mariota in terms of humility. You know, he's really not into himself at all. We talked to him today about, you know, chasing LaMichael's record, about maybe being a Heisman candidate, and you know, he had nothing but praise for LaMichael and said, you know, the record's still way out in front of him. Just, you know, 1,800 yards ago, he's not really thinking about it, but that, he, you know, LaMichael's encouraging him, and that they sort of feel that sort of kinship within the running back culture and legacy at that program, which, as we all know, is running back Vic. You literally would not know that he knows he's really good. Like, you don't have to say, hey, yo, man, you're good. And he'd be like, really? I think he's a guy who, you know, he has his head on right, and that allows him to chase improvement in every area and not rest on anything. And he talked about, you know, trying to run, you know, he obviously runs hard, but trying to do a better job of using his pads and using his force and using his power in certain situations where maybe he sidestepped when he could have just bulldozed. And last year he was trying to become a better, you know, runner in space. And so he's constantly looking to work and tweak things. I think he has to have a Heisman-esque type season. He doesn't have to win it, but I think he has to be in that conversation for the Ducks to have a chance to win the North or win the conference. He has to be the workhorse. He needs to be 1,900 yards, 20-plus touchdowns. Take some pressure off Dakota Krukup, help the offensive line by being the battering ram. And he's the guy to do it. I have no reservations about his character, his work ethic, his goals. He is the quintessential man of Oregon, as they say down here in Eugene.
Nice. All right. Finish with a baseball question. We get back to MLB tomorrow morning. I know you're a Cubby guy. They kind of limped into the All-Star break. They get Dexter Fowler back almost immediately. Arrieta saw his ERA raise by a run his last three starts. But it's the ultimate dog days sport. They lead the division by 7. Post All-Star break, how you feeling about your Cubbies?
Yeah, man. I feel like every time I DVR their games and I watch them speed watch. I can't sit there 3 hours every day and watch baseball, but I speed watch them. I'm like, man, they're losing. Man, they lost again. They lost again. I'm like, man, what's here? And I look at the standings. They're still up 7 or 8 games. I'm like, ah, no problem. They're all right. But they did. I think they went 6-14 of the last 20. I think they lost 9 of 11.
Yeah.
But I think if you go back in history and look at the greatest teams of all time, they all have those stretches. I mean, it's the sport. It's just how it is. You're gonna, you know, not hit as well. You get a few injuries. You tweak the lineup. They brought up a lot of young guys in the pitching rotation, not rotation, but in the bullpen and on the field. And they're gonna make some mistakes here and there. And you know, it's just, I'm not worried about them at all. I think if a team draws to within 3 or 4, I think I'll start to blink. but I think as long as they win the division, it's all gonna come down to who's hot anyway. We all know that, especially in the first round, 3 out of 5. I mean, you could go 162-0 and then get into that 3-5 series, and all of a sudden the other team has a pitcher that just goes nuts. His curveball's breaking 10 feet, and you can't hit him, and next thing you know, you're out. So I just want, my thing is just get in, get home field advantage, and then just cross our fingers.
Yeah, the baseball postseason's a different animal. Catch all this guy's work. CSNNW.com on Twitter, at Aaron J. Fentress. Enjoy the rest of your tonight. Tomorrow you travel safe back home, and we always appreciate your time, Aaron. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, thanks, man. Talk to you next week.
Take it easy.